I just want to share a testimony with you this morning. I'll sing to you all day, but I don't like to talk. But this is just, we sang this morning about the Lord being so mighty and the Lord being awesome. And the Lord is truly awesome this morning. Darren and I, a few months ago, felt like the Lord wanted us to step out in faith, and that he wanted us to sell our home and begin to do missions work again. Well, in the midst of us packing and selling our home, I wasn't feeling well. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, "You really need to go have a mammogram." Well, when I went to do that, I got a call back. They said they had found a mass. Well, when the doctor looked again, after I had gone in again, and the doctor looked at that mass, the doctor said, "I'm sorry to tell you, you have cancer." Well, there were four reasons that they knew, that he knew immediately that it was cancer, was because of the shape, the color, the hardness, and the density. Well, they look at that every day. This is all that they do. And he said, "I know this is cancer, but you need to come back in for a biopsy." Well, the reason for the biopsy was so that they could go ahead and proceed with my treatment. Well, I went in Friday for the biopsy. And, well, let me back up. Wednesday night, I asked Pastor Matt, I said, before we left church, I already had the choir, I already had my friends praying for me, because these guys are my friends. I love them. These are my friends. And you guys are my friends too, but these are my friends because I see them more often than I see y'all. So I had these friends praying for me first. So then I asked Pastor Matt, I said, "Can I get the rest of my family to pray for me?" So Pastor Matt asked everyone to anoint me that was here Wednesday night and pray for me. So when I went Friday, he said, they did one more sonogram. And I could tell nothing had changed. Just by his mannerisms, everything was still the same. And so as he began the procedure, he said, he looked over at the lady, at the tech that was assisting him, and he said, "It collapsed," with a question mark. And he said, which led him to believe, he said, "It's cystic." Well, that's not what he told me before. They had done so many scans before, which I said, and so I'm not moving. He's got the needle. I'm not moving. He's still got a needle in me, so I'm just laying there, and I said, "Lord, you healed me on this table. You healed me right here." And I give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Psalms 18:30, a scripture that the Lord dropped in my heart. He said, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him." And the Lord kept reminding me, "Trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me." And I thank him so much, because he said, "Just trust me and I will do that work in you." Thank him so much for that.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. He's everything we need Him to be. He is a healer, deliverer, baptizer. He's God. You know that was a divine miracle. That wasn't a mistake. There were four areas they looked at. They do this every day. He was shocked and surprised whenever he went in for that biopsy. That's a miracle. That was cancer. But God healed. He's still a healer. Amen. Amen. Just stand and give him a wave offering in this house. Let's thank him for being a healer, for being a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of God. We know that nothing is impossible with you, oh God. We ask you this morning that you would speak to our hearts, change our lives. Lord, bring Pentecost afresh and anew with all of the signs, wonders, and miracles associated with it. Lord, we want this to be normal Christianity. When we see the sick come in, they get healed by the power of God. We see the oppressed, the lost, the undone. They come into the house of God, and Lord, they're delivered. The chains of sin and bondage fall by their side. Lord, do it again in this last hour. Breathe afresh and anew on this last day, church. And Lord, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory this morning because you have done great things. Hallelujah. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of this great King. He did the work. He performed the miracle. Amen. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. Tonight, we have something very special for you. Our School of Ministry, our new group, is going to be conducting the service tonight. And so we've heard the School of Ministries in the past, the last 2 years. This is our third year. So you're going to hear some singing and some preaching. Testimonies. So come expecting the Lord to move in this place tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. Leviticus, chapter number 6. Leviticus, chapter number 6, and verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. He shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Taking my text from verse number 13, the fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in the sanctuary with those of like precious faith. Lord, we know and believe that you're here in this place this morning. You're here to hear our cry and to accept our worship. We ask you, Lord, that you would allow the fire to fall on the altar again in this house. Let it fall on the altar of every heart. I pray for the experience of the power of Pentecost to come afresh and anew in this house. Lord, we want to experience signs, wonders, and miracles in this last day. We cannot make it with ordinary religion. We need the power of God. We ask you, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, you would change our lives, and we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Verse number 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the fire that never sleeps. The Bible has a lot to say about fire. We need to know that fire is both an instrument of hell, and fire is also a tool of heaven. It is both a power for good, and fire is also a power for evil. It is associated with both judgment and salvation. We know that one day the fire is going to burn continuously, and the soul of man will never, never, never escape the fires of hell. But it's also associated with salvation. It's associated with trials, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, though it be tried as of by fire. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it can be a constructive, this fire, or it can be destructive according to the Word of God. But this morning, I'm going to preach on that constructive fire. I'm going to preach on a needful fire. I'm going to preach on a fire that you and I must have in this last day. If you want to keep yourself in the love of God, if you want to keep yourself from getting cold and indifferent, keep yourself from wanting to stay home on a Sunday and watch the Dallas Cowboys, come on, get a fire in your soul today. I throw that in free of charge during football season. It depends on what you're watching. We'll just put anything in its place. But this morning I'm going to preach on constructive fire, the necessary fire. It was in Matthew chapter number 3 that John the Baptist, whenever they came to his baptism, they said, or he said rather, I indeed baptize you with fire or water into repentance. But there's one coming after me, speaking of Jesus. He is going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Can I get a witness in this house? We need the fire again. We need this fire to make it in this last day. Jesus died. He rose again from the dead. The Word of God makes it clear that he was seen of his disciples after the resurrection. He tells his disciples, he gives them an instruction to go and tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Acts 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The very next chapter, we see that Jesus did this very thing. Acts chapter 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. I like it when we get that way. When we're in one accord, we're thinking the same way. We're focused on the same thing. If they were in one accord in one place. You say, well, we can serve God anywhere. No, the church, the sanctuary, the body neatly and jointly fit together is God's idea. Whenever we gather in this place, all focused on the same thing, in the same place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And the Bible said it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Oh, come on, church. Oh, it came down and it set upon them, and they all begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Listen, the Bible has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What worked for the early church, the book of Acts church, is going to work for us, and we have to have it if we're going to see the power of God. Do you want your children to come back to the house of God? Don't look for a church with programs. Don't look for all the amenities in this this last day, look for a church that's got the fire, who knows how to pray, who knows how to get a hold of God. It's the fire that brings Holy Ghost conviction and sets the captive men free. Let me tell you, when we get the fire again at Harvest Time Church, we got a little flickering flame right now, but what we need is an engulfing flame that consumes us, that causes something to burn and inside our souls. And I can tell you, when you get the real fire, everything will change in your life. I said everything will change when the fire comes. That's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. Everything changed in the life of those disciples. Even Peter himself. Peter was a man. He had a temper. He had a few fleshly problems. We all do every once in a while. We need to all pray through. Amen. Well, Peter, he had a problem with fear. He was afraid to be associated with Jesus because he knew that they were about to crucify him. You remember Jesus even told him, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny you even know me. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Well, it wasn't very long whenever they took Jesus away. He denied him three times. I don't even know the man. He was afraid of being associated with Jesus. Listen to me. There was a major difference after he got filled with the Holy Ghost. This man who denied the Lord Jesus Christ and was afraid, fear had gotten a hold of him. Whenever the tongues of fire set upon him, he stood up and preached that day on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 men got saved. Let me tell you, he went from an ordinary man to an extraordinary man filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you cannot save 3,000 men. You don't have to have, you can't know enough word. You can't have or construct a good enough sermon to save 3,000 men. It takes holy fire. It takes holy conviction. It takes something that'll prick and penetrate and pierce the souls of men. Listen, I'm tired of the games that men play. I want to be filled and refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost and that Holy Ghost and fire. These disciples in the book of Acts, they turned their world upside down. They shook up everything and everybody. You're talking about their preaching was effective. Their testimony was effective. They even had the power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to raise the dead. And you look in the book of Acts, you will find that they, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they turned their world upside down. Let me tell you something, whenever you have holy fire burning in your soul, it will make the devil feel uncomfortable. You know what? We need to make the devil feel uncomfortable. We need to have a fire burning in our soul. When the sinner comes in here, they come under conviction. Listen, you can't get saved without conviction, and conviction's not going to come until we get that prayer wheel turning again that keeps the old-fashioned Holy Ghost Pentecostal fire a-burning. They turned their world upside down. Faithfulness replaced lethargy when the fire fell. Divine life replaced cold, dead religion when the fire fell. Power replaced ineffectiveness when the power fell. Boldness replaced fear when the fire fell. I want you to think about it today. Before divine fire, everything changed. Listen, God wants to change us in this hour. I don't want to have the name on the outside of the door, but not produce the fruit. Amen? Listen, we say, well, we're there. We're seeing God move. We have a few miracles here and there. I believe God is moving. I believe conviction is convicting the sinner. I believe that God is healing the sick. He's still saving the lost. But we have not entered in to the realm of revival yet. Listen, if this is revival, then we are not what they were in the book of Acts. And my Bible says that the glory of the latter house will exceed the glory of that of the former. That means it's going to be on a greater measure in this last day than it was in the book of Acts. Listen, that's a promise from God to you and I. So what you need to do is you need to get your expectation high. God's about to do something in a people who are ready, that are hungry, that are thirsty, who will let the fire consume them again. What do I need, preacher? I need something. I need something other than what I got. I can give you what you need. I can tell you what you need. You need the fire again. Whenever I was saved. You know, I was born again, 1996. I know you've all heard the testimony. I was changed, okay? The blood is cleansing a sinner is the greatest miracle of all. Amen? You know, to see a dead man raised physically from the dead, I would love to see that. I would love to see somebody come in here that could not see. I would love to see God heal that blind person and that they be able to see. But make no mistake about it, the greatest miracle that's ever been done is a man passed from death unto life, and the blood cleanses us, amen? But then there's a separate definite work after salvation, and that is the endowment with power from on high. Listen, some will say you get it all when you get saved. You better read this Bible again. No, there's a separate definite work. It is a baptism of holy fire. Brother Matt, how can you explain these things? Why? Let me give you an illustration. Whenever you get saved, the Spirit of the Lord comes inside of you in a measure. It's like drinking a glass of water, the water typifying the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever you get saved, He comes in and He takes up residence in your life. Amen? But listen, whenever you get baptized with holy fire, it's like you getting immersed. You're jumping in a pool of water and you're immersed. Listen, God wants to immerse us. It's more than just a salvation. We need the power to be witnesses. We need the power to live holy lives. And listen, if we get the fire, God will move us into another realm of religion. Listen, He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me after you've been filled with holy fire." Whenever I was first filled with the Holy Ghost, I mean, I would witness to every person I seen. And I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I did have the fire. And whenever I would open my mouth, people would begin to weep. I would begin to witness to them about their lost soul, and they would begin to weep. Why? Because I had holy fire. Amen? Listen, whenever you've got it, the Lord Himself is ministering through you. Listen, Ezekiel saw vision. And in that vision in Ezekiel, there was a river that came underneath the altar. The Holy Ghost is typified as a river. He's oftentimes typified as rain and as fire. Listen, however He wants to come, we'll accept any way He wants to come. But I'm preaching on fire this morning. Fire consumes completely. It's God's perfect will for me to be consumed completely. Amen? Do you want to be consumed completely? But it doesn't stop there. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, that's just the starting point. After you're set on fire, the Lord wants you to begin to feed the fire. He wants you to begin to stoke the fire. Listen, divine fire cannot be built within yourself. It has to be sent from heaven. That's God's part, sending the fire. But my part is feeding the fire. My part is continuously putting logs on the fire. Are you with me today? Listen, it's a beautiful thing because God, His intention is for Him, God, to work with man. He sends the fire and we feed the fire. Amen? Listen, Job says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. God has sent the fire to many of us in our life, but somewhere along the way, we stop putting logs on the fire. Let me say it again. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. There's a lot of churches across this country. There are churches, believe it or not, that are on fire for God, and people sit in the pew, and they're not feeling anything, so they blame it on the choir, or the preacher, or the musicians, or the teachers. No, you got to feed your own fire. You got to put some logs on your own fire. Unless you do, the fire is going to go out. Oh, come on, church. Today is the day that we recognize that we ain't been putting as many logs on the fire as we're supposed to, and our fire has gotten low. Our text reveals something to us. Every morning, the Bible says in Leviticus 6, every morning the priest had a job to do. They would remove yesterday's ashes. They would take them outside the city, and then they would put another log on the fire. Removing yesterday's ashes. Listen, what you had yesterday, It might have been a good thing. It might have been a faith builder. And you can look back to what God did. I hear so many people talk about all the time, all their life, what God did in the past. What about right now? Listen, God, what about your relationship right this minute? We are to forget all those things and move forward. We are to take out the ashes of yesterday's fire. It was good. Praise the Lord for it. But we are to put some fresh logs on the fire. I love the stories in the past of what God did, and I love to hear them. They're faith builders. But listen, it's yesterday's ashes. Today, God wants to send the fire, but you've got to put another log on the fire. Woo, praise the Lord. Another log on the fire. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. It's man working in cooperation with God. God sends the fire. We keep it going. It's not hard. Listen, you can't expect God to do everything. He wants us to do something. Anybody who says, well, you don't have to do anything, you better go back and read the Bible. You better go back and read the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, it's man working in cooperation with God. He sends the fire, and we keep on feeding the fire. Oh, he sends the power of his Spirit, and we've got to cultivate our spiritual life. There's some things we got to do. We got to abstain from worldliness and things that would pull us back, and we've got to stoke that fire, put some things on it. I find it very interesting that in Leviticus chapter 6, he gives them all of the instruction on how to remove the ashes of the previous day, to put new wood on the fire, whenever God had not yet even sent the fire in Leviticus chapter 6. The fire does not come until Leviticus chapter 9. It is not until all the things were put in place. They had built the altar. They had cut up the sacrifice. And in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24, here's what it says. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which all the people saw. They shouted and fell on their faces. This was their experience when God sent the fire. Remember, they didn't start this. They didn't try to rub two sticks together and start a fire. This came from heaven. And listen, I get so frustrated with people who have experienced Pentecost. Maybe they've experienced a revival in their life. Maybe you've been to the Brownsville revival. Maybe you were a young person back in the 60s or the 70s and sit under Brother A.A. Allen. Or there's a variety of things that I hear about, and they're all good. And we want to produce that again. Listen to me. Those type of things cannot be produced in man's ability. It comes when we pray. It comes when we seek his face, that we get sanctified, set apart, and God sends the fire. There's things he wants us to do, and there's only one thing. There's things that only he can do. There's things we must do, and there's things that only he can do. He's given us a list of things to do, and when we do those things, what happens? Divine fire falls. Listen, I believe in all the manifestations of Pentecost. I believe in running, shouting. I believe in tongues of fire. I believe in all those things. But you can't work up a revival. It's like rubbing two sticks together. It's not going to happen whenever you do those things. We must get into a place, the prescription that the Bible calls. We must fast and pray and get separated from the world, and then holy fire will fall. That's God's job. My job is to put wood on the fire when it gets here. Divine fire comes only from heaven. Leviticus 6 and 13, the fire, he says, shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Preaching to you this morning on the fire that never sleeps. There is a fire that never sleeps. You say, well, I just don't see what I've seen before. There are people who are still burning with a fire. There's people in this church that have that fire burning. Maybe your fire has gone down. Listen, there is a fire that's ever burning on the altar of many, many hearts. Listen, you ever heard? I love those old songs. I was talking to my sister-in-law, Sister Tierney, this week, and I said, and I brought up a song, those old theologically sound Pentecostal songs. One of them is that Holy Ghost, that prayer will turn him, that keeps the fire burning. Amen? When that prayer, whenever you're praying and seeking the Lord, it's putting another log on the fire. Every time you send up prayers unto the Lord every morning, you are putting another log on that fire. But if you stop your prayer life, it won't be long, and that fire's going to go out, and you're going to blame everybody else because you don't have it. You're going to blame the church. You're going to look for something new, and you're going to find yourself disappointed, discontented, because it ain't about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's about a personal fire. It's about personal logs that I must put on the fire. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. I'll just name a couple of logs today. There's several logs that you must put on the fire. And I believe that prayer is the key log. You must put on the fire every day. Being faithful in the areas of your intimate walk with God. Faithfulness is another log on the fire. Proving to yourself that I'm going to put him first. Well, you say, well, that's just legalism. When I do those things, that can't save me. No, those things cannot save you, but it's logs on your fire. Amen? When you're faithful to the Lord, whenever you make your mind up, I'm going to seek God first, not second. I'm going to put him first in my life. That's another log on the fire. And I'm going to tell you, when you put them kind of logs on the fire, they keep on burning, and you can pray. That's whenever your prayer reaches the heavens. Another simple log on the fire is practical Bible reading. Brother Matt, tell us something we don't know. No, we don't know that need to hear something of great revelation. This is revelation. This is, when you read the Word of God, it ignites the fire in your heart every day. It's just like putting a log on the fire. Sometimes when I'm reading the Word of God, it gets so good on the inside, I say, Lord, I don't know if I can handle any more of this. Lord, just stop it just for a little while. Let my cups are overflowing right now. Sometimes it just feels so good to my soul. And I can tell you, when I get up from a good, intense Bible session, my soul is like it's set on fire. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you that we've got to put logs on the fire every day. Let me tell you about another log. Another log is being obedient unto God. That's a log that we put on our fire every day. You say, well, Brother Matt, I'm trying. No, just do it. You know, I'm tired of people saying, I'll try. No, you just walk in the light. Don't just be a hearer of the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word. Whenever you walk in the Word, whenever the Holy Ghost brings all things to your remembrance, everything that God, the Word of God has said, and you begin to walk in it. It's just like putting another log on the fire. Amen? Put a log on the fire. Let that fire begin to burn. Obedience to the Word of God. When I first got saved, I still remember, you may not like this kind of music, but I loved it. When I got saved, I separated myself from everything in this world, everything that would pull me back, and I watched them Gaither videos. I just wanted some good old-fashioned music, the kind that I was raised on. And I'm going to tell you, I would watch them for hours. I'm not saying that the Gaither music is all the kind of music you need to listen to, but I want to tell you, good Christian worship, biblical, theologically sound, anointed music is just like putting a log on the fire. Turn off that garbage, that carnality, that worldly music, and start putting some logs on the fire. Listen to me, music was created in heaven for worship. Every time you start listening to the songs of Zion, something takes place down in my soul. I start feeling a fire, a burning. Oh, come on, church. Put another log on the fire. What about godly fellowship? When I'm around my brothers and sisters in Christ, when I'm around other brothers and sisters that are full of the Spirit of God, that love Christ, and they start telling me about the love of God, and they start telling me testimonies about what God has done. Listen, iron, the Bible says, sharpens iron. But whenever I'm in the presence of another brother or sister, it's like putting another log on the fire. Oh, listen, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. We need to put some logs on the fire today. What about fasting? And whenever you fast, I can tell you, it will ignite a fire in your soul again. A giving heart, being faithful, all these things. There's a whole lot of different logs that we can put on the fire. I don't know, listen, there's a lot that I haven't named, but whatever it is that stokes that fire, put the log on the fire today. Stop blaming everybody and everything else for your lack of fire. There's a lot more. But in Leviticus 6 and 13, he says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. What he's saying is, don't ever, ever let that fire sleep. Don't ever let it go out, because when it goes out, it takes something supernatural to get it back. God is looking for some people who will keep the fire burning on the altar of their hearts. Such a people are not satisfied with an intense spiritual experience or an emotional event. They desire to walk, and their walk to be sustained every single day. And when the fire comes to them, it spreads, and the fire cannot sleep. We all know that we are living in dark days. This is a very dark hour that we're living in. Wickedness is prevailing everywhere. And it looks like the devil's got the upper hand, doesn't it? The devil don't have the upper hand. The church always has the upper hand. Do you hear me? I said the church always has the upper hand. It doesn't take prophetic eyesight to see that evil appears to be prevailing all around us, but it may in their world, but this is not our world. This is their world. And although it may be prevailing, the Bible says where wickedness doth abound, my grace does that much more abound. Listen, whenever it gets darker and more wicked, God gives us a greater power, but you had better put some logs on the fire. It's getting cold, it's getting dark, and we need some heat. Oh, come on, church. I said we need some heat in this hour. We need the fire of God to fall on our soul once again. God still has a remnant. No matter what it looks like, I don't care how many have backslid, I don't care how many churches have gone the wrong direction, God still has a remnant. It's not time to retreat. It's time to stand up. I believe in a rapture. But I'm not going to be looking for the rapture and not do anything or say anything in the world that I'm living in. God's called us to occupy until he comes. That means preach the gospel to the poor. That means invade the darkness. We are called to be salt and light. Amen. Salt preserves, and light exposes. And we are to be salt and light to a world around us. Listen, don't hide in a corner. And I'm not against getting ready for things coming on the horizon and buying a few extra groceries and a few extra supplies. But don't hide out in your bunker when the world's going to hell. Listen, COVID-19. Praise God for, I hate that people have lost their life over it. My heart goes out to people, but I can tell you it has made a separation within the church world today. It has revealed the real and the false all over the world today. But I can tell you this, we are not going to fear COVID-19. We're not going to fear any kind of plague that comes our way. We're not going to fear the government. Why? We are the church of the living God, and we can't shut up. Sit down, be quiet. We must open our mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. It's hard to resist divine fire. Why would anyone trade divine fire for modern religion? Why? Why would any church, any denomination trade divine fire, the power of God, for games and methods to win the lost? Who changed things? Who's the one that changed things? Who changed things in our society? I can tell you what has happened. Somebody stopped putting wood on the fire. And whenever you don't have fire, you have to supplement it. You have to replace it with something else. Who changed things? Who changed things from the vibrant, spirit-empowered, by life or by death, faith of the New Testament today, spineless home and garden Sunday religion? Who changed things? Who changed things from leave everything and follow me? That's what Jesus said. To pray this little prayer and you're set for eternity. Who changed things? Jesus said, forsake everything and follow me. And we've replaced it with pray this little prayer and everything's fine. No, everything's not fine. That's the starting point. That's the entrance into heaven. But you've got to put some logs on the fire. Who changed things? Who changed things from all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? Two, ask Jesus in your heart and you'll enjoy a comfortable life. Who changed things? Because I can tell you the gospel that's being preached today is not the gospel of the Word of God. Who changed things? Who changed things from a fearless proclamation of truth, whatsoever the cost or consequences, to a watered-down, compromised message that's afraid to offend anyone? We're afraid. We're afraid to offend our family members at the family reunion, afraid that we're going to be labeled as that one that stirs stuff up again. Well, listen, I believe in being wise and having a Christ-like spirit, but you had better stir some things up. If somebody's racing towards judgment, but you say, I don't want to offend them, I'm just going to let my light shine, it's time that we open our mouth and let our light shine. Amen? I've heard people say, well, lights don't talk. You better think again, ladies and gentlemen. He said that I may pray that I be filled with the Spirit, that I open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We got to make people feel uncomfortable in a right way, in a wise way, led by the Spirit of God. We have kept our mouth shut too long. Who changed things, ladies and gentlemen? A.W. Tozer said this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. That's back then. Today, we would just go on and we would go through the calisthenics of religion. Who changed things? Who changed things from a God-centered faith to a man-centered faith? Take up your cross and deny yourself to bypass the cross and empower yourself. Who changed things? Who changed things from holiness being beautiful to holiness being bondage? My Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Oh, that's bondage. That's legalism. Well, I can tell you this. I would rather be on that side. Now, listen, I've seen the legalistic people who think everybody else is going to hell that are not just like them. That's nasty. That's ugly. They need to get right with God. Amen? But I would much rather see somebody trying to live separated on further on this side of the fence than on this side of the fence. Amen? I've talked with people who say, well, I don't do that anymore. I live too long under that bondage of legalism. So, I've moved over to an area where I am at liberty right now. And you know what? I look at them and I see the fruit in their life and I say, brother, you ain't in liberty. You're backslid. You have walked away from God. You're not even close to where you were. Yes, there are some things we've got to do. Who told us this? Who changed things? Who convinced us? Who hath bewitched us to make us feel that we don't have to be separated unto God and come out from the world and touch not the unclean thing? Yes, we do have to come out from the world. He said, come out from the world and I'll be a father unto you and you shall be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Who changed things? I'll tell you who changed things. The devil has gotten in. Carnality has gotten in. We've tried to win the favor of men and we've rendered ourselves powerless. There's no more logs on the fire. Well, it's high time that the church, we cut down some trees, chop them up, and put some wood on the fire every day of our life. Who changed things? Who changed things from the people of God being a threat to the powers of darkness, to the powers of darkness, to the people of God being active participants in darkness? Who changed things? In the early church, Paul instructed the Corinthians to separate themselves from people who claimed to be believers who were living in outward, unrepentant sin. Today, some of those people lead our churches and preach from our pulpits. Who changed things? Whenever you can have open homosexuals preaching in pulpits, I'm going to tell you, we are under a demonic guise. Satan has entered in. Who changed things? Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Something's wrong in this world today. Who changed things from faith that was so focused on the life of Jesus and so infused with the reality of his death and resurrection that no sacrifice was considered too great and no act of service too extreme? To the contrary, suffer for him was considered a privilege. But today, our convenience store Christianity, where we have to sell salvation to the sinner by spicing up the deal with perks and benefits. Who changed things? Listen, I'm not here to throw stones at any other church. We need the fire burning in this church. I said, we need the fire burning in this church. You need the fire burning in your individual life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time right now. It's time. When did Jesus stop being enough? Who changed things? When did obedience become an option? Who changed things? When did keeping God's commandments out of the love for him, becoming religious in a negative sense of the word? Didn't Jesus say that if we loved him, we would keep his commandments? Who changed things? I know what you're thinking. Who changed these things, Brother Matt? We slowly change these things when we stop putting logs on the fire. We seek a substitute. Listen, we got a lot of things going on at Harvest Time Church. It's an exciting place to be. God's moving by his spirit and by his power. We're seeing the lost saved. We have a school. We all these ministries. It's wonderful. We're seeing great things take place. But listen, nothing can take the place of an intimate walk with God and having a fire burning in your soul. You know whether or not you got a fire burning in your soul. You say, well, Brother Matt, God just heard our cry and healed Sister Laurie. God did heal Sister Laurie. Amen? That's a miracle. God has answered our cry. And there have been many prayers that have been answered, many miracles that have been taking place. But listen, when Peter got full of the Holy Ghost, his shadow healed the sick. Demons were cast out. Why don't we see the demon possessed like we used to? I'll tell you the reason why. Well, the devil don't possess people anymore. Yeah, he still possesses people. But we don't have the river and the fire to the point where it makes the devil feel uncomfortable. And it's not just one person in the church. It's the church collectively. We must get back to a prayer closet. We must get back to sanctified living. It's time to put some logs on the fire. Listen, God, he wants to set us on fire. He has already sent it on the day of Pentecost. I don't even need to look for another fire. The fire that I need was sent in Acts chapter 2. And that fire is still available for me today, but he's going to send it. I have to manage it. I have to keep logs on the fire. If I don't, it's going to go out. I refuse to believe that what we see in the churches across America is what God planned for his people. I refuse to believe that it is God's intention to have what we have. Can someone come to the piano? Yes, we're seeing some good things, but I will not settle for good things until we are experiencing the power of God. Real Holy Ghost fire never sleeps. It's time right now. Not later, but now. It's not going to be abnormal when the fire comes. Now, it'll be abnormal from the outside looking in. They're like, man, you crazy. It's going to be normal according to God's standards. What does God's reality look like? What does normal look to God? What is normal according to the Word of God? Now, hear me. What's normal according to the word of God and what's normal according to religiosity is two different things. We are so careful in our modern era. We don't want to be radicals. We don't want to be too crazy. It's time we get a little crazy. It's time that we become more radicalized when it comes to our faith. What is normal according to the word of God? As I have said for many years, what the world calls something extreme is what the church calls normal. In the words of Leonard Ravenhill, Christianity today is subnormal. That if any Christian began to act like a normal New Testament Christian, he would be considered abnormal. What does normal look like according to Jesus? Here it is right here. Here's another normal viewpoint from the eyes of Christ. Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That's normal Christianity. If you don't love him more than you do your mom and daddy or your kids, you're not worthy of Christ. Brother Matt, does that really say that? In this Bible, right here. That's normal Christianity. Take up your cross and follow me. In today's modern religion, it's all about building self. It's all about sanctifying or making the flesh better. Your best life now, that's just a real popular book, Your Best Life Now. Jesus said, any man who seeks to save his life shall lose his life. Do we not see that we are on the very brink of eternity? We're on the very brink of the rapture of the church. And we're just kind of, we feel like we're just coasting by and we're enjoying the fellowship of the believers. No, we need to be shook a little bit. We need divine fire. We need the power of God like never before. What does normal Christianity look like according to Paul? He says this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die is gain? How can that be? Because he is so eternally minded. He's constantly thinking on those things which are above. Unfortunately, as expressed by Watchman Nee, by the time the average Christian gets his temperature up to normal, everybody thinks he has a fever. Right? Can we stand? It's time to put some logs on the fire. In fact, the word commands us to be fervent, to catch on fire. Leviticus 6:13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The only reason it's out, either it's a sin issue, willful sin enters in, or you stop putting logs on the fire, or both. The remedy is very, very simple. Repent and start putting logs on the fire again. Ask God to consume you again. The simplicity of this great gospel, it works. We've been in church for so many years, we want to hear something profound. Give me some new revelation. I'll give you what works. I'll give you what works. Brother Matt, aren't you leaning a little bit towards a works religion? Absolutely not. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith through grace. We're saved by the blood of the cross. But once I enter in, you read over and over again, if you seek to save that life, you'll lose that life. Any man who does not take up his cross daily, not one time, at an old-fashioned altar, but if you don't take up your cross daily and follow him, you're not worthy of him. What part of you're not worthy of him when you don't take up your cross don't we understand? That's the gospel. Close with this. Revelation chapter 3. And to the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, make it very clear. This was not written to the world, to the sinner out there. This is written to the church. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would word that you are cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, listen to these words. This is the Lord speaking to Laodicea. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says, I would rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to take off my sophistication just for a second. Spew you out means I will vomit you out of my mouth. What part of this do we not understand? Are we not terrified? Are we not terrified? I fear the Lord. The older I get, the more in awe, and the more I fear the Lord. He would rather you be hot or cold. The cold is out of step with God. They're away from God, but they know it. They're clear on it. It's no gray area. The lukewarm, they got a little bit of religion. They got enough to satisfy, to ease, to soothe their conscience. Maybe they had something before. Maybe they feel little doodads every once in a while and say, he's with me, still with me, still with me, still with me. A lot of what we feel sometimes may just be the flesh, may just be them old doodads. It had nothing to do with God. You cannot operate in your feelings over the Word of God. If you've been blessed financially, you say, well, God would never bless me financially if I was in sin. You wrong. You wrong. We live in the United States of America. There's millionaires everywhere. Just because you're blessed does not mean God has stamped you with divine favor. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't you ever let your carnal mind deceive you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I must be doing something right. Measure your life according to the Word of God. Don't measure it to man. I would rather you be hot or cold, saith the Lord. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out. You're gone. So I'm going to close with this statement. And this is a message of encouragement. Don't you feel encouraged today? You know why it's a message of encouragement? Because God is so merciful that he says he wouldn't resist any man who came to him in repentance. You come with a repentant heart, he's not going to resist you. That's good news today. You stand before the wrong judge, you're in a heap of trouble. But God says, I will in no wise cast you out. Repentance. Here's the issue right now. Some of you got it today. Maybe for the first time. Maybe something was brought back to you. But this was your problem the whole time. And because you have no fire burning, everything affects you. You're easily swayed. You're easily pulled away by the things of this world. You're easily offended. You're easily disenchanted with the things of God because there's no fire. But when you get that fire back, the same quickening spirit that raised Christ from the dead is also going to quicken your mortal body. And you're going to be driven with a passion and a desire to do the will of God, to love Him, to be faithful. Convictions will come back to your heart, but you won't be trying to project that on other people. You know them people who try to do that mean, nasty stuff? I'm talking about personal convictions between you and the Savior, but you have the love of God flowing out of you when you have a fire burning. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Somebody in this house may be away from God. God's dealing with you today. Come back to Jesus. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. The gospel's been preached today to the church, to the child of God, but there may be somebody in this house that's away. You say, I need to get back. I just want you to come down here right now. I want you to step out of that pew. You say, I'm away from God. I want to come back to God. He will in no wise cast you out. Come on down, sister. Anybody else in this house? Anybody else? He loves you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He will in no wise cast you out. God is a God of love, mercy, and forgiveness. This is serious. Religion has evolved. Churches have evolved. And what I preach today and the kind of music and the worship we have, some people would come in here and go, oh, my Lord, have mercy. What is this? We love Jesus, and we're driven by eternity. Maybe somebody else in this house today. Today's your day. He loves you. Saints of God, just pray for a minute. We're going to give you a chance to come. God, He's pulling at you with cords of love. He loves you. Oh, God, do it again.
For it's not by accident you're here today, saith the Lord. For I have orchestrated everything. My love is reaching out to you today. Come to me, saith the Lord, and I will transform your life. I will feel the longing in your soul. You have longed for me, saith the Lord, and I will fulfill the longing, saith God. Hallelujah.
Make your way down here. You're away from Him today. Hallelujah. I want some men to come pray with our brother, our two brothers up here, and some ladies to come stand with this lady that's come. Today's the day of salvation. I want you to come and pray, and then we're going to ask the other ones to come. Just gather, ladies, gather around her. Wrap her up. Listen to me. It all comes back to this. You're responsible for your own fire. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame anybody else for a lack of the burning. We know what to do, and we've got to do it. Amen? We become so disenchanted, even to the point of the church services. We want more. We want more. Lord, what are we going to do? I can tell you what we need to do. We need to put some logs on the fire. I want us all to come around this altar, everyone in this house. If you're saved and you want to be, you want the fire to burn in your heart again like never before, I want you to come. I believe God's about to move in this altar. Everyone gather in close around this altar. You need the fire today. What's the problem? Why are you feeling the way you're feeling? It's a lack of fire. And here's the good news. If you'll get the fire back, fire begets fire. Fire begets fire. When you get set on fire, the people around you they can't help but get set on fire. When you get set on fire, everyone come in as close as we can to the altar. Come on, church. I believe God's going to burn us up again with that fire from heaven, the fire of Pentecost. We need it in this hour. Hallelujah.
provide the sacrifice. Oh God, and you provide the Spirit. And I will open up inside.